Mark's account of the widow who gives these two small copper coins is part of a pair of stories that Mark includes, including Jesus' warning of the scribes' greed and misuse of power in contrast to the widow. And he begins this conversation with the word beware. It's a warning. And Jesus is at the crossroads, telling us not to go down a destructive path. And that destructive path is the path of greed. Jesus goes behind what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears, what we observe, and he reveals to us what's really going on behind the mask and seeing the condition of the heart. Beware, he says. Watch out. Look out for the seductive power of greed of the scribes. Through their status, their sense of entitlement, they have found some prominence in public. But in private, they exploit the poor. And this is Jesus' way of pulling the mask off to see the person inside. We may think that we see wealthy, well-known, and happy public people that are wealthy. But what Jesus reveals for some is someone who is consumed from the inside out by greed. They devour widows' houses, Jesus says. This is a very real case of social injustice that Jesus is pointing out here. And the words he uses to identify the sin and is by using words describing a sinful appetite. They devour widows' houses. They're consumed. And in their consumption, they also consume the poor. Their hunger for more is so intoxicating that they will even exploit those who have very little. They've been bewitched by money. Jesus' warning tells us that they are under the spell of greed. They've lost all sense of loving the poor, their poor neighbors, as themselves, as they would want to be loved, losing all empathy, mercy, and compassion. But Jesus' words, beware, tell us it's a wake-up call for all of us. Things are not what they seem when we see millionaires and billionaires and people in power. They too are just as susceptible, perhaps more susceptible, to the seduction of money and power. Beware, Jesus says. Don't believe the lie of riches. Don't get consumed by the appetite for things. In the end, you and I will do things. We'll do terrible things that we would never imagine ourselves doing, even like taking things from the poor to line the pockets of the rich. Don't fool yourself, Jesus says. Anyone could be seduced and deceived by the race to have more and more stuff. The ways people stole from the poor and devoured widows' houses is all over the Old Testament. In the book of Job, Isaiah, Proverbs, Deuteronomy, Exodus, and in the examples given there are people who moved property lines into their property away from the widows, effectively taking land away from them, or the state, or the temple, would demand taxes from people who clearly had no money to give. And when a person could not pay cash, they would take their valuable livestock and land away, seizing their crops and selling them, and even seizing their family or themselves and selling them. The reformer Martin Luther explains the seventh commandment, you shall not steal, this way. He says we should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but to help them improve and protect their possessions and income. Widows are the most vulnerable in society, especially at this time. They were often women who had been abandoned and forgotten. And instead of finding the compassion and the help that they needed, they were often, and often are, further exploited. It's an easy thing to do when we don't observe, we don't see, and we don't hear their stories. And that's why Jesus takes off that mask, that second mask, the mask over the widow. This time it's a mask of poverty and unworthiness. On the face of things, all she gave was two small copper coins. But Jesus says, if you look behind the mask, you will see a person who is abundant and generous in spirit and in love. She gave more, Jesus says, because she gave all that she had, all she had to live on. What may look worthless to you and me is priceless to Jesus. Not the money, but her soul, the person, is precious in his sight. And so Jesus tells us to beware of the ravenous greed that can consume us. And instead, follow this humble and godly woman. The temple is priceless to her. Her value is not in copper, silver, or gold, what she could give, but in what she had received from that temple. The forgiveness of sins, the assurance that she is a child of God. Everything that the temple represents, not to mention the fact that the temple is the assurance that God is with us and that he dwells among his people. Her sense of worth is not in herself, but in the promise of God, who says, I will dwell among my people. The good news is not the two small copper coins that the temple gained that day. Jesus acknowledges it wasn't much. But it was the gift and it was the heart of this young woman, this love and faithfulness that God produced in her heart that overflowed in her worship. She's responding to the gift of salvation and the love of God that she had received first, because we love because he first loved us. Theologians call this an imputed righteousness, which is a fancy way of saying it's the value God gives to someone who could never purchase or produce it themselves, and that would be you and me, along with this widow. Instead, God reckons it to us. He gives it to us freely by his grace and by his love. We don't need to play dress up like the scribes do. As Jesus describes, we don't need to wear fancy clothes because we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We don't need to make a name for ourselves. We bear the name of Jesus. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are royal children of the Heavenly Father. We bear the name that is above all names. We don't need to barter or jockey our way to a position at the table. Jesus spreads a table before us and freely invites us to take and eat and to drink. All of you, he says, receive my true body and blood. It is free. You're welcome no matter what your station is in life, no matter what your background is, or whatever tragic story of loss you bear. Jesus says, you are precious to me. So much so that I gave all that I have and all that I am to you. I have bought you. I have purchased you. You are mine. Not with copper, silver, or gold, but with my precious blood that I purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. And I give it to you to build you up so that you may receive it and pass it on. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.